How young Moses was tested. By the laws of Egypt, all who occupied the throne of the pharaohs must become members of the priestly caste. Moses, as the heir apparent, was to be initiated into the mysteries of the national religion. But he could not be induced to participate in the worship of the gods. He was threatened with the loss of the crown and warned that he would be disowned by the princess should he persist in the Hebrew faith. But he was unshaken in his determination to render homage to none save the one God, the maker of heaven and earth. He reasoned with priests and worshippers, showing the folly of their superstitious veneration of senseless objects. For the time his firmness was tolerated on account of his high position and the favor with which he was regarded by both the king and the people. By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God, than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Moses was fitted to take preeminence among the great of the earth, to shine in the courts of its most glorious kingdom, and to sway the scepter of its power. As historian, poet, philosopher, general of armies, and legislator, he stands without a peer. Yet with the world before him, he had the moral strength to refuse wealth, greatness, and fame, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God. The magnificent palace of Pharaoh and the throne were held out as an inducement to Moses, but he knew that the sinful pleasures that make men forget God were in its lordly courts. He looked beyond the palace, beyond a monarch's crown, to the high honors that will be bestowed on the saints of the Most High in a kingdom untainted by sin. He saw by faith an imperishable crown that the King of Heaven would place on the brow of the overcomer. This faith led him to join the humble, poor, despised nation that had chosen to obey God rather than to serve sin. Moses remained at court until he was 40. He visited his brethren in their servitude and encouraged them with the assurance that God would work for their deliverance. One day, seeing an Egyptian smiting an Israelite, he sprang forward and slew the Egyptian. Except the Israelite, there had been no witness to the deed, and Moses immediately buried the body in the sand. He had now shown himself ready to maintain the cause of his people, and he hoped to see them rise to recover their liberty. He supposed his brethren would have understood how that God by his hand would deliver them, but they understood not. They were not yet prepared for freedom. On the following day Moses saw two Hebrews striving together, one of them evidently at fault. Moses reproved the offender, who at once retaliated upon the reprover, denying his right to interfere and basely accusing him of crime, who made thee a prince and a judge over us? He said, Intendest thou to kill me, as thou killedst the Egyptian? The whole matter soon reached the ears of Pharaoh. It was represented to the king that this act meant much, that Moses designed to lead his people against the Egyptians, to overthrow the government, and to seat himself upon the throne. It was at once determined by the monarch that he should die, but becoming aware of his danger, Moses fled toward Arabia. The Lord directed his course, and he found a home with Jethro, the priest and prince of Midian, who was a worshipper of God. After a time Moses married one of the daughters of Jethro, and here, as keeper of his flocks, he remained 40 years. It was not God's will to deliver his people by warfare, as Moses thought, but by his own mighty power, that the glory might be ascribed to him alone. Moses was not prepared for his great work. He had yet to learn the same lesson of faith that Abraham and Jacob had been taught, not to rely upon human strength or wisdom but upon the power of God for the fulfillment of his promises. In the school of self-denial and hardship he was to learn patience, to temper his passions. His own heart must be fully in harmony with God before he could teach the knowledge of his will to Israel and exercise a fatherly care over all who needed his help.